22, from verse 25 to 27. Luke 22. Can we get it in a Message Bible, Dan, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. I'm so excited of who He is. Luke 22 from verse 25 to 27. We will continue with our series that life is not a game, life is not a gamble, neither is life by chance. Life is designed by God, and God is God of purpose. Please tell your neighbor, your God and your Father is a purposeful God. So the Bible says, but Jesus intervened. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you, talking to his disciples. He said, let the senior among you become like who? The junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be? The one who eats at the table? Or who eats the dinner? Or the one who serves the dinner? Would you rather eat and be served? Right? But I have taken my place among you as the one who serves. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at what makes you great. Greatness is not something you go to school to study. Greatness is not something that you acquire. Greatness is given by God, and greatness comes through servanthood. When you want to be great, when we call people great and they are given great titles, they are given awards to recognize what they do, it's because they allowed their gift to serve others. They give awards. Every year, every month, there is an award. There is an employee of the month. When you get an employee of the month in the company, they don't just look at how you come in cute and how you dress well. They look at everything that you do, from keeping time to finishing your projects on time or before time, and even staying later to make sure that your job is done. So that recognition of the employee of the month does not come for free. You pay the price for it. Greatness. To be recognized in greatness, it is when you allow your gift to serve. And as we said on last Sunday, that the problem with us, we have misunderstood what Jesus taught in that very passage, because our concept of being a servant has more to do with servitude than it has to do with serving oneself to the service of others. We look at servanthood that like it is belittling yourself for the sake of others. But that's not what Jesus was teaching. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then be the servant of all. Right now, you are sitting right there, and I'm serving you. What am I doing? My gift is serving you, which means the one who sits is greater than the one who comes with a plate of food to serve you who is sitting. Are you here? But Jesus said this, if you're going to be great, then serve. If you want to lead, you have to take the attitude of servanthood. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And I was thinking about this scripture this morning. It was not part of my notes, but as I drove here, I was listening to a song. And all of a sudden, Ephesians 3:20 came into my spirit. And I started thinking what that scripture is about. Because the Bible says, to him, to who? To the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond and above, over what you may ask or think, according to what? Not to the power that works in heaven, not to the power that it's in somebody else, not in the power with the angels or the army of heaven. He said, according to his power that it's at work in you. Somebody say, in me. According to the power that is in you. Two things. The Bible talks about thinking and asking. Two things that are very crucial to how you live your life. Two things that your victory or your defeat is dependent upon. What you speak and what you think. Because what comes into your mind, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you speak defeat, then defeat becomes evident. But if you speak victory, then victory becomes evident. Are we together? Now, here is the word. He says, according to the power that is at work within you, beyond what? Above. Far above. Exceedingly. Give us that scripture in Amplified translations, please. The Bible is true. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word, we say was, but it is God. I'm bringing you to the present. Now, before I read that passage of scripture, I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say to you. God is saying in that very scripture that it's what is within you, what you're pregnant with, is so powerful, it is so big, it is so moving, it is so mind-boggling that nothing else can release it apart from his own power. I'll repeat that again. Thank you for the one amen. That word right there, God is saying, what is in you? What he created you with? The vision, the purpose. How he designed you. There is nothing that can put you on a launching pad far above. Not a man, not a woman. Yes, God uses people. But there is no power on earth that can stop what is within you. unless you allow the enemy to do so. Nothing can stop you. All you need to do, it is, come on, people. You have to think beyond. Don't limit God. He is unlimited. Put him where he belongs, in his unlimitedness. He says he will do it exceedingly, abundantly. All you need to do is think it and speak it. Come on, somebody say it with me. Think it and confess it. Think it, confess it. Okay, let's have a chorus. All together. 1, 2, 3. Think it, speak it. Think it, speak it. Think it, speak it. All you need to do, it is to think big. Think big. The problem with us, we put God in a box, we think small. Let me tell you. I have told the devil one thing. He cannot stop what is within me. He cannot even kill what is within you. The Bible says that they can kill the body, but they have no power over your spirit. So here it is. When you put God in a box, that God can only do this big, then that's exactly what God will do. He will prove himself to you, and he will come in that little box that you have placed him in. This is what we do. I'm about to step on your toes. Sometimes we even take our tithe and we eat a portion and we give God a portion. We limit God. We limit God to an electrical bill. We limit God to a utility bill. We limit God to a car payment. All you need to do is to think big, because the same God who gave you that vehicle, he is able to provide money to pay for it full. So you cannot think small. It's the same way we think about servanthood. I can come with my tie, and Jesus was wearing the best expensive gown. There was not even a seam on it. God himself designed it for him. Come on, people. The fine linen. When you understand in the Middle Eastern terms what they call the fine linen, it is more than 1,000 threads. Have you ever slept on a bed sheet that it's 1,000 threads or 2,000? It feels good. Now, the creator of the universe designed something for his son. You keep on limiting God. It's whichever boulevard you want to walk in. Because some of us walk and live in limited boulevard. But I have decided, and some of us live on drift street. We are drifting away from faith. Now we have graduated from limiting God. Now we live on drift lane. We are drifting away from the faith. This is Jesus comes in with his most expensive suit. Maybe if he lived today, he will have a Louis Vuitton belt and a Louis Vuitton shoe. Maybe he will be wearing a Gucci suit. That's what we think. But I tell you, Jesus, whether he wore a second-hand cloth, the one you washed and washed and you decided, let me give it to him, he will take it and put it on Because his greatness did not depend on the outside. His greatness was his attitude of servanthood. That he takes a towel and a basin of water and washes 12 men's feet. And these people, let me tell you, your feet are beautiful right now. Maybe some of you, when you remove over here, will be running out. But let me say this. He sits them down. People who are walking with sandals. So you can imagine even their feet. Their heels had hard skin, walking on sandals. Their feet were dusty. Their feet, because of wearing a sandal, you wear a sandal too long, your feet takes another shape. Some of you are looking at me like you're born with a pair of shoes. Some of us, we didn't see a shoe, maybe until when you're 10 years old. You remember the day you used to walk to school without a pair of shoes? And then it is so dusty, by the time you get to school, your muddy guard, your dress, you look at the back of your, the dust is all the way up here. Some of you, you never lived that life. But may I say to you, Jesus humbles himself to that level of washing his disciples' feet. And Peter says, he had the mentality, this man is great. He said, Master, you cannot wash my feet. He missed the lesson. Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, then my kingdom and who I am, you cannot be part of. He was trying to say, if you don't take the attitude of a servant to serve, then he is not in you. The greatest man, the greatest philosopher, the greatest scientist, the greatest man who ever walked on the face of the earth, his name is philosopher Jesus Christ. His name is scientist Jesus Christ. His name is Dr. Jesus. His name is inventor Jesus. His name is creator. Him, he took a servant attitude. He served you. That the Bible says, if it were not for his death, you will not even be sitting here. I will not be standing here. Speaking of his goodness, he took a servant's attitude and he came as a servant. So let's look at right there, Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified Translation. Now to him who, by inconsequences of the function of his power that is at work within me, is able to carry out his purpose and to superabundantly, far above, far over, and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams, he is able to do it. So touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, dream big. Speak big. Think big. You have to take God out of the limited boulevard into unlimited boulevard. We have got to. Now, what made Jesus great? In John chapter 12, verse 24 and 20 to 26, let's look at that. And then, so that I can clarify a point. And I can jump into something here that I want to introduce. Are we there? I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, and does what? And unless a grain of wheat, unless you, James, unless you, John, unless you, Robert, unless you, Jane, unless you, Rahab, unless you, Hannah, falls down into the soil and dies, you remain alone. Unless you die, you remain. It remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, somebody say, if I die, it produces many other and yields a rich harvest. You want your names in the books of history? Serve. Serve wholeheartedly with a clean heart. Take the attitude of Jesus and follow him. He says, unless a grain dies, it remains alone. Jesus used an analogy that everybody knew about and knew that what a grain of wheat was. He knew. And he knew, though it is contained in itself, in that seed that is contained in itself, it has the power to reproduce. It has the power to multiply. God is God of multiplication. Life will not be what it is if Jesus did not become the very kernel of wheat and falls into the earth and dies. The kernel of wheat in itself, in its own death, would give life to a blade, to a stalk. This is amazing. An ear of wheat, which means that the death of the seed was the true life. Come on, somebody. The death of the seed was the true life. The seed could not have reproduced and given life to another seed unless it died. Ah, say it with me. Life is in death. So you have got to die to yourself. You have got to die to your old self. You have got to die to pride. You have got to die. I cannot serve. They need to serve me. You have to die from the high-mindedness and this pride being buffed up by an attitude that dropped Satan here on earth. He left heaven. He said, I want to be like the Most High. I want to take his glory. I go to Ezekiel 28. The Bible says God had created this morning star, the Lucifer, with such beauty, with such awesomeness. He lived. Diamonds were his usual currency. Every day he lived in rubies. The Bible talks even how the precious rocks were producing fire, and he lived among that kind of a beauty. But the Bible says he was perfect until iniquity, somebody say iniquity, was found in him. What is iniquity? Iniquity was when pride came in, when he started coveting the throne that does not belong to him, when he wanted to commit the first treason. You know why people fight for power? They are driven by the same desire that drove Satan. And instead of him becoming what he wanted, God lowered him here on earth. And the Bible says you, somebody say me, you have the power and authority over him in the name of Jesus. He is the lowest of the lowest because of pride. Are you here? Now, here it is. There are gifts of the Spirit. You remember last week I said, if you are a teacher and you do not teach, then you are not a teacher. If you are a doctor and you don't practice, you only have the title, but you don't have the service that follows the title and comes with the title. So you might as well not be called a doctor. If you are a nurse by profession and you are not nursing, you are injuring and hurting and betraying, then we would rather not call you a nurse. Because now you are not nursing, bringing healing. You are destroying. Are you here? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are gifts, 9 of them. These are distributed by the Holy Spirit. And these 9 gifts, we call them the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 of them. There is, the Bible in verse 4 says, it talks about different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit gives these gifts to men and distributes them to men and gives you the grace. The Holy Spirit gives you a gift and it gives you the grace to function and to operate in the gift. Now, these manifestational gifts, in Greek, they are called phaneseres. Phaneseres means, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, listen. Phaneseres, which is a Greek word for manifestation, it means to shine forth. In other words, I have a gift. For that gift to shine, I have got to unleash the gift to serve people. If you go to Broadway and you don't have a gift and a talent to sing musicals and to act, then Broadway is not for you. You go to Broadway to showcase and people buy tickets and they come and sit for hours to watch a show because there is somebody who is allowing their gift to serve. Are we together? If they call you to the Carnegie Center and you're not gifted musically to go and play an instrument over there, then you become just another normal, casual being occupying space, but no talent, no gift, but you have an invitation to the Carnegie Center. I'm talking to the language you can understand. Now, shine forth. I will allow my gift to shine. There is a second class of a gift. That is 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the manifestation, or we call the manifestational gift, or the gifts of manifestation. Number 2 kind of gift is what we call the ministry gift. And these are in Ephesians 4 and 11. Some, the Bible says, he gave some that calling to be an apostle, to be a prophet, to be an evangelist, to be a teacher, to be a pastor. Those are what we call the ministry gifts. Number 3 kind of gifts. It's what we call the motivation gift or motivational gifts. These are found in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. May I say to you, my brother, my sister, Jesus speaks to the apostles and the disciples, and he says to them, you remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, until he distributes the gifts to you, he launches you. Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21, when you go to that passage of scripture, you will see that Jesus did not start his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him. In verse 18, he says, when he entered the temple and he was given the scroll of the book of prophet Isaiah, the Bible says he looked for a place where it was written, and the Spirit of God is upon me, for he has anointed me. Anointing means he has given me divine abilities. Now, let me talk a little bit about the multi-manifestational gifts. They are grouped into three different categories. Are you here? The manifestational gifts are grouped in three different groups or different categories. Category number one is what we call the vocal. Some writers, they call it the oral gifts or the utterance gifts. But I like calling them the vocal gifts. This is speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. What do these three gifts represent to us? These three oral or vocal gifts, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit has distributed to the church to continue carrying on the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ. You didn't hear me. Did you know Jesus was a prophet? He prophesied. So when we have the word of, when we have the vocal gifts, we're speaking tongues. There is the interpretation of those tongues. There is a gift of prophecy. You prophesy. Then you are carrying on the office of prophet Jesus. The Bible says elsewhere in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Group number two. It is what we call the power gifts. The power gifts are the gift of faith. Do you know there is faith? The just shall live by faith, and there is the gift of faith. We'll teach someday about the difference between faith and the gift of faith. So there is faith, power gifts. There is faith. There is gifts of healings. Not singular, plural. There is gifts of healing. The last one is workings of miracles. These are the gifts that supernaturally carry on the priestly office of Jesus. Jesus came as a priest. He gave the gifts, faith, healings, and working of miracles to carry on his priestly office. Group number three. It is what we call the revelation gifts. This is number one, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. Discerning of spirit. This is what we call the revelation gifts. These are the gift that the Holy Spirit has distributed to the body of Christ to carry on the kingship office, the kingly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a church that believes in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, manifestation of it by speaking in other tongues. We believe in that. And for us to be able to serve, you, my brother and my sister, you must know how you are gifted. I know my gifting. You can have multiple gifts in you, but there is one dominant gift that operates within you. For me, I know my calling. I have an apostolic calling. But my most dominant gift is in teaching. I have other gifts. Can I stand and preach? Yes, but I'm more of a teacher. Everywhere I go, I teach. Even whether I like it or not, I may write a message, I find myself teaching. I like digging stuff. I like digging the roots to know what is causing that tree to grow. So for you to be able to serve, my brother, my sister, in the body of Christ, in the church, you must know your gift. How has the Holy Spirit gifted you? And you can function in all the three categories. You can have a manifestational gift. You can have a ministry gift. I have a ministry gift of an apostolic, but more dominant gift is teaching. I speak in tongues. At times, God will allow me to hear tongues and interpret them. I don't normally do that, but occasionally, God will allow that to happen. I flow in the gifts of healing. I flow in the word of wisdom and one of knowledge. All these are in the mix of the Holy Spirit. It is just you understanding how you are gifted and how you are talented, because every gift comes with what we call the grace of the gift. That is the divine empowerment of the gift. And for you to be able to know this, you must allow yourself to be taught. You have to be taught. How do you know your gift? We can help you with that. How do you function in your gift? We can help you with that. As a church, we cannot limit ourselves to one gift and two. We have to open up ourselves and allow every man, every woman who allows themselves to be taught. Let me tell you, you cannot be a teacher until you are taught. You cannot be able to function as an apostle until you are trained. You cannot be able to function in the gifts of healing until you are taught what that gift entails and be trained on it. But you see, what is happening to the church? We recognize, okay, I'm gifted, I'm talented, and what do? We now think, I can go start a ministry. You go prematurely, and what happens? You die in the gift. And that gift brings destruction. You find your marriage in trouble. You find your children are no longer together with you. Divorce happen when people go to ministry prematurely. Because when your spouse is not prepared, you don't have the support. And let me tell you, out of great marriage, great ministries are birthed. Effective, let me use the word effective. Out of great marriage, effective ministries are birthed. When you do not have a healthy marriage, then even it doesn't matter how gifted you are. Catherine Coleman. Anybody have studied about Catherine Coleman? Powerful. She, when the Lord took her to glory, she had laid hands on Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn carries on the anointing of God that was upon Catherine Coleman. Catherine Coleman, many people think she died because of a disease. If you study very clearly and you follow her history, and I'm going to finish with this, Catherine Coleman died out of a broken heart. She had been married several times, and the marriages never worked. Finally, a man, and I'm not going to mention his name because all of you know him. He's all over in TBN, Christian networks. She trusted this man who was an organist. And she knew if anything were to happen to her, he would be the one to take over the ministry. But this man betrayed this woman of God so bad that even when she was sick in her sick bed, history says, for those who follow the history of the church in America, history says, here comes Oral Roberts and a friend going to see Catherine Coleman in the hospital. And they knew, and God has spoken to them, that when they go and lay hands on her, she will be healed. But when they arrived, she told them, please don't pray for me. I don't want to live anymore. They told her then, forgive this gentleman. She said, I cannot forgive. This man has hurt me so deeply. That's how a woman used of God mightily left the earth. Died of a broken heart because she was betrayed with those that were close to her. May I say to you, my brother, my sister, when you recognize your gift, you have to allow your gift, and the God of your gift to bring people who are going to stand by you. And allow the God of your gift to take those who you want to take away from you. May I say to you, when you are called and you recognize your gift, not everybody will be pleased with what you say and what you do and how you function. In other words, your gift will be able to raise up men and women who will be able to pray for you. And there are those who are going to fight you tooth and nail. You will face opposition. Judas was in the camp of Jesus. He was one of the 12. He betrayed the Son of God. Even you gonna be betrayed when you function in your gift. Don't think as everybody who is around you is for you. And I come to challenge the church this afternoon. I come to say to you that if you don't allow your gift to serve the body of Christ, God will judge you for that. It's the Bible, and I don't have time to go into that. But the Bible talks about judgment when you sit on your gift. When you sit, guess what? If God has given you a gift of healings and there is somebody sick and your gift is not functioning, you are robbing that person of their healing. And God will hold you accountable. All of us have a gift that we have been given. But the question is your gift serving the body of Christ? Have you taken the attitude of servants? I like people who try. People who come and say, I don't know my gift, but I will heal. I want to do this. May I say to you, the more you do, the more you fail. And the more you fail or fall forward, the more you learn and the better you become. Don't be afraid of failing or saying the wrong thing. I hold the mic. I mess up. I say some things I should not say. Then I come here and I apologize and I go and repent before God. I don't allow those mistakes to stop my gift serving the body of Christ. None of us here is as good as all of us. And none of us here is perfect. But we serve a perfect God who wants to perfect you in your talent, in your gift. Let me pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for challenging us, Holy Spirit. I pray that King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that all of us, every woman, every man, every boy, every girl, every young lady, every young man, every child, would arise to serve you, to allow the giftings in them to serve the body of Christ, that your body may be perfected, that your bride may be well prepared for your coming. And Lord, I pray that you forgive us for where we have failed, where we have looked at men. Father, this is not my church. It is your church. I pray that you forgive us who have looked upon Pastor Dominic, those who have looked upon Pastor Carol. They are not serving us, but God, they are serving you. We stand in your place, and we stand with all humbleness, O God, praying that may you forgive us. May you heal us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, that God, we can be able to serve and allow the gifts of the Spirit in us to serve in our functions. In the name of Jesus. I want to give you a minute, my brother, my sister. You know, you may not know your gift, but you know you are not doing anything in the house of the Lord. I want you to have a conversation with God right now.